Конечно.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday, and it means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams, and we're having a conversation and dialogue about the protests that are going on the campus, which are going to continue to increase. Sandy, House Republicans launched multiple investigations into college protests. So the Republicans in Congress is saying that they're going to take matters into their own hands and they're going to address the protests on the college campuses.
Yeah, and I think
let me ask you, they can't deal and get anything else fixed in the country. Right? But here I know what we'll do. We'll make sure that those students on the campuses hear us loud and clear. We're representing America, and this is what we're going to make sure that the students understand. I have a problem with that way of thinking.
Yeah, in fact, this is where I come down in the same place you did with respect to January 6th. The same congressional people who want to investigate the colleges want to ignore or sweep under the rug what happened on January 6th. What bothers me about the notion of Congress investigating these college protests is that they're probably doing it under the guise that these college protests are steeped in anti-Semitism, okay? And that's painting the protests with a brush that isn't that the protests aren't worthy of being painted with. There might be evidence in some places with some people of anti-Semitic words or conduct. But the protests at large are not about that. The protests are about the conduct of the war, and it's clear that in every one of these protests just about, there are a significant representation of Jewish groups who are opposed to the way the war is being carried out in by Israel. Okay, there is opposition within Israel, right, and without Israel by Jews about the way that the government is carrying out the war. So being against the conduct of the Israeli government conduct is not about being anti-Semitic, unless it gets reduced to that by some ill-guided individuals. But to paint all these protests with that broad brush is to do it a complete disservice, and it's to politicize it. And that's what I'm troubled about.
So Sandy,
I went to two of the campuses that have now been gotten a lot of attention and spent a lot of time on the University of Wisconsin campus. I can assure you that those student bodies are not inherently anti-Semitic. Okay?
Let me ask you, Sandy, because the other thing that I'm hearing is these students don't know what they're doing. They don't understand what they're engaged in. I'm sorry. I think many of the students who are on these campuses are smarter than people are giving them credit for. The universities aren't full of people who don't know what they're doing or who don't understand issues, Sandy, or they wouldn't be in the universities.
Well, you know what happens? When you're in a university, you aren't yet compromised by the job you hold and the potential of your political conduct having an impact on your livelihood, okay? So students are in a particularly independent position to express their positions, which is one of the important attributes of being a student of the universities. These people are free and independent to speak their minds and to indicate their protests. And so, you know, I think that there's always been opposition to protest by the status quo, those who want to hold on to the status quo and the establishment, because most frequently people are protesting because the establishment is choosing to do things which are contrary to the interests of those who are protesting. That's what a protest is all about, really. Okay, that's what drives protests. And so when the establishment reacts negatively to a protest, we should all say, well, of course, you know, because the protest is against those in the establishment who are turning their back on the problem that is being protested.
So Sandy, young people, and you and I, and you and I talk about this all the time. This is their time now, and they are not, you know, jaded by the years of war that you and I and our generations have been jaded by. And they don't believe that China is coming to get us. And they don't believe those things, that we need to spend all the money we spend on war. As a matter of fact, the majority of these college students don't believe in war. They're young, idealistic. And I can't say that they're foolhardy for not believing in war. I don't believe in war. But that's what they are. They don't see this. They think that there's different ways of coming to solutions, Sandy, without killing people. Why is that so wrong?
Well, I think that students have long carried the important messages to the establishment because of what I said. You know, I noticed upon retirement the sense of liberation I had from constraints to express my opinion,
right,
which I wasn't even aware I was experiencing right, until I was free of them. And I look back at my days as a student and realize that that was the other time when I was unfettered by the need to necessarily compromise my thoughts and conduct when I thought something was important.
So let me ask you, Sandy, at where we are now, do you see this thing escalating more on campuses, or do you think that, in your opinion, do you think that this thing is going to be ratcheted down?
Well, I think it's going to be ratcheted down because college semesters are ending, and so there won't be students on campus. It's interesting, but these uprisings almost always happen in the spring. I think you can go back in history and find out that that's almost universally the case. And I think that it will ratchet down, but hopefully it's brought to attention an important issue to be addressed and to be focused on. I think the Biden administration is actually focusing on this quite effectively, but the people who are, you know, Palestine and the Palestinian issue needs resolution, and it needs resolution beyond stopping the war in Gaza. It needs resolution so that the next Gaza doesn't happen, so that there is a peaceful solution for Palestinians in and around Israel.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. And Vincent from Lannan. Hey, good morning to you, Vincent. Your thoughts?
Good morning, Earl. You know, first of all, protest in this country is probably one of the bedrock issues that we've had since the beginning of this country. And some of it is violent, and hopefully most of it is peaceful. But my point is that where's the protest for the hostages? The fact is that I think Hamas has taken advantage of this situation. The fact is, if they really cared about the suffering of the Palestinian people, that they would do something that would benefit that by at least releasing the hostages and trying to take the moral high ground on this issue. The fact is that we continue to protest against what's going on in the Gaza Strip, which is horrific. But the fact is that there's a reason for it. The fact is you have over 100 hostages being held against their will, and nobody's really asking for them to be released except for Joe Biden and his cabinet. Are trying to get them released. So where's the protest for those individuals who are being held?
So, Vincent, let me ask you, the Palestinian people don't control that. And so because, you know, the Hamas have done these horrific things that they've done, do you penalize the Palestinian people? Because of what a handful of others did. And so, you know, they can't, if they had the power, I'm sure the Palestinian people to control the people, the Hamas, and force them to release the hostages, they probably would have by now, based on all the suffering that it's wrought for them, man, the hunger, the killings of all of those people. You don't think that that's the case, Vincent?
I do. I think it's horrific. I think it's tenement to almost a genocide. That you got almost 2 million people being herded into a small portion of the Gaza. You know, it's horrific. But the point is that there are hostages, Earl, that need to be released. And so somebody knows because Hamas has those hostages among those people or on the Gaza Strip. So the fact is, if they really cared about the suffering of their own people, then the first thing they should do is basically release the hostages. And so, yeah, you know, I think that the genocide that is going on needs to end. But we need to keep in mind that there's a reason why Israel is doing some of the things that it's doing. And if hostages is one of them, please release those hostages, because then I think the Palestinian people plus Hamas will have a more higher ground on that point.
So, I think one of the problems here is that the vast majority of the Palestinians living in Gaza are being held hostage themselves. They're hostage to the Hamas, an organization which is outside of their control. You know, it might have been voted in by them in 2007, but subsequent to them, it's become a terrorist power organization, much like a cartel in Mexico, ruling Hamas in spite of the will of those who live in Hamas. I mean, ruling Gaza in spite of the will of those who live in Gaza. And so these poor people are captive to Hamas and also captive to Israel, so that they're just unwilling victims. And it's a sorry thing that is very hard to find a solution for, and we're finding that out.
And unarmed.
Yeah.
Hey, Vincent, thank you very much for the call, man. Guys, hang on the phone lines. 844-967-2789 is the number. That's Friday. It means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
Everybody talking about bagging.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, text us that same number. It's Friday. It means Fridays with Sandy Williams, as we continue our conversation about the protests on the college campuses. Sandy, why are we playing this music?
Well, it's just harking back to the protests of the 60s and 70s and all the music that came out of that, because, you know, we should all remember, those of our generation who lived through that, that protests were the word of the day. I mean, this was... You know, we're acting like this is unusual, but students had a great deal to do with what ultimately happened in Vietnam. So, you know, protests were an important thing politically.
All right, let's go to David from Mequon. Good morning, David.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Really quickly, a couple things. One, Earl, I think you're aware I sent you an email in regards from Hillel directly, what was said in that letter. To people of Jewish faith. Keep in mind, I was a member at Temple Emmanuel when it used to be on UW, right next to UWM Milwaukee campus, which subsequently went out to where Sandy is, out in River Hills. And I remember very distinctively when that was happening, that transition of building a temple out in River Hills. The amount of anti-Semitism was insanity. You could not believe how many people protested against having that temple on Brown Deer Road, right a few blocks away from the church where it is currently. And that was eye-opening to me as an individual, that I was a member for, you know, many, literally we were members for like 30 years. This is when Rabbi Silberg was still at Temple Emmanuel back in the day. It was very controversial. And a lot of Jews felt very uncomfortable going to that particular temple. Now, today, we don't have that, but the point is, initially when it happened, there was a lot of hatred. And I guess what I would point to you guys is this. So if you were to wear the Jewish Star, David, and Sandy, you said you went to the campuses, and if you were to wear that and say you're a Jewish and you support Israel, I think you'd be surprised at some of the answers or responses you'd be getting. And the reason why I say that is because keep in mind now where Cootie and Dom are in Madison on State Street, right above the Comedy Store, Michael Rappaport, who's a Jewish comedian, it was canceled last night because of the fear of potentially something very bad to happen. So everybody got refunded their money last night. And at the end of the day, when you hear chanting River to the Sea, that means the annihilation of the state of Israel as we know it. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention today.
Well, David, go ahead, son.
Well, I think, if the River to the Sea carries connotations, I'm not sure. I understand how Jews and Israelis, many Israelis, receive it, because it seems like if the Jewish state were to be eliminated, it could only be done forcefully. I think there are those who are resistant to, and I have a question, actually, David. Are you still on?
Yeah, he's on.
Because Israel has now become, in fact, a religious Jewish state. But it is not my recollection that in the 50s and 60s, when Ben-Gurion was the leader and after that, that in fact Israel had embodied into its laws the fact that it was a Jewish state. Do you know if that's the case?
Well, obviously, as far as Israel, keep in mind...
I just want to understand the one thing. Because now it has embodied laws which create, in fact... The notion that it is a Jewish state, much the way Saudi Arabia is a Muslim state, but it's not my recollection that Israel has always been that. I'm just asking the question. This is ignorance, not. I just wonder if you know the answer to that.
Yeah. So Israel, yes. It back in the day when Jewish people lived on the homeland, yes, it was.
I understand the Israeli state, I'm going to do some research on this, but I believe that Israel has morphed from being a secular government to embodying the fact that it has become a Jewish state, much the way people worry about India now morphing into becoming a Hindu state from what it had been. Since its inception at about the same time, 1948. But so with respect to anti-Semitism, it's an undercurrent and it's a danger. I just am concerned about the level of proof that's being applied to the notion that it is at all prevalent on these campuses. To the extent that it exists, it might exist, but to the extent to which its prevalence, that's where I have a concern. And a desire to learn more. I'm not there now, but I'm confident that for instance, at Columbia, the nature of the population of Columbia is actually highly Jewish itself, and the same is true with respect to Harvard and its faculty. So I just wonder the extent to which anti-Semitism is prevalent, or just simply there are anecdotal episodes of it.
And you know, Sandy, before we go back to the phone lines. Clearly, there are many Jewish people in Israel right now who disagree with Netanyahu and what has been going on.
Yes.
And they've had protests. They've organized. They've had protests, Sandy, throughout all of this.
Yeah, and I think to the extent that it is the government of Israel that's being protested against and not Jewish people generally,
right.
We do a discredit to label that as anti-Semitism. And to the extent that there are those who might not be Zionists, and by Zionism, I think we mean people who are committed to the notion of Israel as a Jewish state, that too doesn't necessarily mean anti-Semitism if you aren't committed to Zionism and the principle of Zionism. But That's the problem when we have debate. If we try to color it into ideological grounds and then liturgical grounds, we do get it gets very difficult. And I don't blame, quite frankly, Jews for being worried about the resurrection of anti-Semitism, because it has existed for centuries and centuries, millennia. And so, you know, we need to be on guard about it. But hopefully the American society, and particularly academic society, is very much on guard.
So my thing is, you know, Joe Biden said, President Biden said, we've got to stop anti-Semitism in this country. We've got to stop racism in the country, not just anti-Semitism. There's all sorts of racism in the country. And you can't just focus on one group, because racism and bigotry is throughout our nation. And so when we just focus on one group and say, this is what happens, then there are other groups that say, hey, wait a minute. You know, this is something that permeates our nation. It has for a long time. And let's talk about it from the perspective of all of these groups. Right? We've got to do away with it across the board. 844-967-2789. Guys, hang on the phone lines. It's Friday. It means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams and I. Thanks for joining the conversation. We'll come right to you. Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams. And Sandy, if you will once again explain to those who are just joining us your music selection and why.
Well, music is reflective of the protest movements of the 60s and 70s and how much it infected music as well. And we're talking about the protests ongoing now. And so I thought it would be apropos.
It absolutely is, because it takes me back and to that time. Let's go to Ahmad from Franklin. Hey, good morning to you, Ahmad. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. I appreciate you guys having me on this morning.
Well, thank you for calling and listening.
Absolutely. Thank you. I would like to, if I may, reply a little bit to Vincent and I guess a little to David as well.
Go ahead.
First off, I'd like to say I am Muslim. I am also Palestinian American. I have a mother that lives in the West Bank currently. I also have a brother and sister that are there right now. My sister, actually, she's a resident of the West Bank in Palestine as well. So, obviously, this the whole subject matter, it's personal. It does hit close to home. But I just want to clarify, I think that there's a lot of callers offering a lot of really good perspective. I just don't hear quite enough personal perspective with personal experience, and that's kind of what I wanted to add to the table. I wanted to bring to the table this morning. So, first off, as far as when Vincent was saying, if Hamas was to release hostages, this would alleviate or maybe point, you know, push in the right direction, maybe even just in good faith to get positivity back on the table. My response to that would be, I agree. If Israel would release the 13,000 plus hostages that they have. Now, I know that they hide behind a rhetoric of, well, these are prisoners, these are criminals. But when you tell me that there's 11, 12, and 13-year-olds that are being held for years on end sometimes, I mean, there was a kid that's been in there since he was 8 years old. He's 16 years old now, and nobody wants to talk about his story. What could you possibly tell me that an 8-year-old has done that would warrant him, you know, serving 8 years in prison. That's literally half of his life. So there's a lot of political prisoners or political hostages. Again, perspective matters in how you want to frame it. So that's one. Two, when we talk about, well, you know, Hamas did these things and, you know, this is the reaction to it. I don't want to be disrespectful and I certainly don't want to be rude, but to say that this whole issue started on October 7th of 2023, it's not only naive to say it's ignorant.
Ahmed, did we lose you?
No, I'm here. Can you hear
me? Okay, yeah, go ahead.
No, what I was saying is that this issue didn't start on October 7th of 23. The issue started more than 75 years ago. And to claim that the issue, that this whole, the whole problem that we have there now is a reaction to October 7th, it really does. It borders on ignorance and naivety. And again, with respect to everybody and their perspective, I understand that there's an extreme lack of information and a lack of knowledge on the subject matter. And I can't really blame everybody, especially here in the United States, because there's so many other things going on. But if we want to take into account, you know, where the issue started, you know, we can go back 75 plus years and we can look at the accounts. To David, when he says that, you know, from the river to the sea, and I know Sandy, he actually offered some pretty on point perspective. From the river to the sea is not a violent montage. It's not a call to violence. It's not a call to exterminate or eradicate any one people. And again, just to make perfectly clear, Palestinians have zero issues with Jewish people. I have zero problems with Jewish people. My problem and a majority of the Palestinians' issues is with the Israeli government. And I think that there's a little bit of hyperbole where we say, you know, we're against Israel. People want to construe that as we are anti-Jewish. That's not the case at all. If I say that I am anti-Trump, that doesn't make me anti-Christian. It doesn't make me anti-Lutheran or anti-Baptist. So the way that they correlate that, I can't help but say that that's just... It's bogus propaganda, and that's the smoke that's been blown all over the table since the beginning of this issue, unfortunately, and even beyond that.
Hey Ahmed, man, thank you very much for those poignant words, man. You know, I can't say I disagree with the things you had to say.
Well, I think it's important. I think it is important to get an understanding from people who are very close to it and understand it from their own personal experience. It's a tangible experience. And I think that's the problem we have, is that the issues that are going on in the area of Israel are palpable experiences being experienced by the people there. And they have been experiencing them ever since the formation of the country of Israel, and the toil and mayhem that has occurred periodically. And so I think that this montage of that's recited by Palestinians is really a metaphorical one that's aimed at discussing and trying to get an agreement to what it is that should be in existence between the sea and the river, the Jordan River and the Mediterranean, and how it should be configured. And I think that's been the problem that Israel needs to contend with, which is how should we configure this state or the states that exist between the river and the sea?
And the fact that even inside of Israel itself, people who agree and disagree with the very thought of what it should be and the solutions to the issues.
Yeah. I mean, you know, so mantras develop a life of their own, and I looked at from the prism of the eyes of whoever's talking about them. And so, and maybe some of the people who have used that mantra mean it to be based on potential violence to solve the problem. But there is this problem that exists between the river and the sea, and that is the notion of how it is that Palestinians should be governed and in what jurisdictions they should be governed.
All right, let's go to David from San Francisco. Good morning to you, David. You say what, sir?
Oh, thanks, Earl, and hi, Sandy. Yeah, let me call. Am I David Tooth for the day?
Yes, you are.
Because I disagreed with almost everything he said, and I'd hate to have any confusion. And when Sandy was talking about protest songs, well, there was a real good one that showed up in the 1980s from Jethro Tull, and that was North Sea Crude. And it was the oil and gas boys taking advantage of offshore oil drilling in the North Sea and polluting the whole place and ruining fishing and ruining the lives of people in the North Sea. And so if you get a chance to add that, because if you look at Gaza, just do a quick Google search of Gaza oil, and you'll find out that Chevron has the rights to the fracking offshore of Gaza, and the oil is directly there's fracking offshore and oil directly underneath Gaza, and they've known it at least since 2019. And Netanyahu has been blasting the place to bits, and I contend it's all about oil. It has nothing to do with religions. Ahmed's great on that line about the differentiation between, you know, the Lutherans in America are not fighting the Catholics or fighting the Baptists or any of the other denominations. Muslims have a lot more than Shia and Sunni. And the idea that somebody can just come up with a bigoted statement about Muslims as opposed to oil. Who's going to be owning the mineral rights to the hundreds of billions of dollars worth of oil underneath Gaza? And I contend that they won't leave a single person alive. If a certain oil company wants the drilling rights, they'll kill them all.
You know, you know, David, you know, that has not been talked about publicly much at all about the discovery of the oil that's beneath Gaza and other really important minerals. And I have heard what you just stated, but clearly the media is not saying that. Nobody can know for sure, that's the rationale or the reason, but it clearly has been stated. Sandy, have you heard anything?
I just don't have any direct knowledge about it. I have read about such things. There's also the fact that I think there's an oil pipeline that is potentially to be configured that would run to the Mediterranean that could, and a natural gas pipeline. It might be natural gas that would have a terminus at Gaza. I mean, Gaza is in a sort of a strategic position, right? I mean, it's got a successful port. It's on the Mediterranean.
Not much of anything else, but.
Well, if you can say that about all of the right. desert area, but you know, Israel has done very well with developing the land of Israel. And so I don't know, but I can't really ascribe value to the theories about what it is that underlies this other than the apparent cultural differences. But the cultural differences seem to be enough in my mind.
So the cultural differences that are never going to go away.
Well, I think the fact is that during the Ottoman period, these people lived in this area very peacefully and coexisted very peacefully. And it's really been governments that have been imposed on the people. And it's the governments themselves and the operation of the governments that have created the discord. And I think the fact is that the truth is that there is very little animus between Muslims and Jews per se. But the animus has been created through conduct of government.
Well, you heard Ahmed say, it's not the Israeli people, it's the government that they are in opposition against. And you know, we can talk about it, but our government is an ally of the Israeli government. And so governments, you know, Tom from LA always says, we the people are the government. Well, I don't know about that, because, again, to, and who was it? I don't know if it was David from Mequon who, or who it was who kind, oh, it was Vincent, who said and talked as if the Palestinian people should somehow be able to control Hamas, and that they could somehow, you know, bring about and kind of leverage Hamas to free the hostages. Well, but they clearly don't have the power or the wherewithal to do any of that. No, not the people.
I think just to segue a little bit, but I think, you know, we worry in this country about the separation of church and state. I think what we have in the Mideast with respect to the problems of the government has much to do with the intermixing of church and state. Okay, so we have Muslim states, Saudi Arabia, a Muslim state. We have a Jewish state, Israel. And I think if you inhabit one of those states and you don't happen to be Muslim or you don't happen to be Jewish, it puts you in a very different position than it would if you lived in a secular state that was not religious-based.
All right, 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Friday. It means Friday's with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. One more segment. I love his voice. All right, welcome back to what I can't believe, Sandy, is the last few minutes of a Friday edition of the Earl Ingram Show with my co-host, Sandy Williams. It's been a great conversation, Sandy. Let's do this. Let's go to the phone lines. It's CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what? Well, I don't think CJ is there. CJ going once. All right. So, Sandy, these students, many of them probably, it's safe to say, and maybe I'm, you know, I don't know, but maybe you can respond. Here he is. He's back. All right, CJ. Good morning.
Wow, thank you, gentlemen, for taking my call. I call all the time, and I
CJ, what do you want? What do you want?
Whenever you do, though.
Okay, so what?
I don't know why you won't take.
CJ, what about the conversation? Do you have something to add?
I certainly do. The history of it is that yes, there is a difference between Palestine and Hamas. But the issue also is that Israel has tried to have a peaceful existence. They offered things to Yasser Arafat, everything that he asked for, the Gaza and then some, and he turned it down. So I believe there are Palestinians that still don't believe that Israel should exist, right along with Iran and terrorist organizations like Hezbollah, and Iran has perpetuated this, and our president has proven his weakness. We've seen it in the colleges.
So
the way he's
let's unbundle this, CJ. You immediately want to turn what's going on towards the president, and you know how he's handled the president. Doesn't have direct control over the local police, over or the universities themselves. And so I don't understand how people can immediately decide to turn their gun on the president with respect to that kind of localized conduct. And the fact is that the rhetoric of the president seems to be right on in terms of wanting law and order as well as maintaining the capacity to carry out protest. Do you argue with the notion that people should have the right to protest?
No, I don't, but I should believe it should be peaceful and not intimidation.
Well, he's
trying to walk the fence, Sandy. Let me respond. Can I respond?
I'm not sure. No, this isn't really a debate, CJ. This is just, you called in with some comments, and I'm simply now commenting that I can't see how anyone can make a correlation between the White House, okay, and what's going on the campuses, and what should be done about what's going on in the campuses. But I think it's clear that the rhetoric from the White House, you would call it walking a fence, I think the White House is saying the right things with respect to how this ought to be handled.
In his speech yesterday, he never mentioned Israel. He never mentioned their name. He says he supports them. He tries to micromanage what's going on in the war against Hamas. The way Hamas has used Palestinians as human shields and the numbers they talk about deaths is coming from Hamas.
Okay, so CJ, here's what I would say to you. You said he says that he supports them. Financially, has the United States stopped supporting Israel? No. Has under Joe Biden, the answer to that is no. Has Joe Biden brought pressure on Benjamin Netanyahu to address what is going on in Gaza? Yes. But has he totally turned his back on Israel? The answer to that is absolutely not. So what are you guys talking about when you say Joe Biden has turned his back on Israel?
Because he uses stipulations. He was only forced to come out yesterday. What a joke. He's only forced to do it because the left wing of his party is walking away from him,
like a lot of other groups.
CJ, thank you very much for the call.
I think what's interesting there is that sauce for the goose maybe isn't sauce for the gander. Aid to Ukraine, I'm sure, if we were to continue that conversation, should be given with all kinds of strings and stipulations attached to it. I don't understand why anyone would believe that when a country like the United States provides billions and billions and billions of dollars worth of aid to a country, why it is that they wouldn't have the opportunity and the right to sit down and talk with that country about how the money might get best used.
And not to mention financial aid that we continue to give to Israel. To say that Joe Biden has turned his back on Israel is just not truthful. And it doesn't matter how many different people say it, Sandy, whether it's Donald Trump or CJ, that doesn't make it truthful.
Well, I think what's important about today, since we're getting to the close here, is that lots of protests are ongoing on campuses, and they're ongoing right now focused on the situation in Gaza and in Israel. But the fact that there are protests ongoing on campuses, to me, is a very hopeful thing, because I think it demonstrates that we have a young population that is not apathetic and believes in their capacity to have an impact on the policies of the country. And so I think it's open to debate and a discussion, which is a very important debate and discussion. And so I applaud that. I hope that and believe that demonstrations do need to be carried out carefully and with discipline. And so I think the president's current position with respect to that is salutary.
All right, Sandy, great as always. Have a great weekend. Calvin, thank you for all the hard work. Another great week. Thank you to the listening audience. Couldn't do it without you. Up next, Jane Matinere on Air, and Greg Bach. See you guys on Monday.